of this has been behind Alex, and he's done a wonderful job of things behind the scenes that most people don't know. And he's also a great leader and a great encourager and a great friend to so many people. And so I'm encouraged. I'm blessed. I'm excited to be able to receive from him tonight. So I want you guys to get ready, and I want you to pay attention and really listen, because there's so much that God is doing inside of him that he wants to communicate and he wants you guys to really get. And I know it's been things that God is teaching him as well. So let's receive him. Let's listen. Let's give him our heart and our ears and pay attention and take notes to Alex Worth.
Thanks, Jacob. I was expecting a standing ovation, but it's okay. For all of you who have cats and dogs in the room, I hope you each feel a sense of guilt because my allergies are kicking in, and it's because of you. So I hope you just share in that guilt, and you just feel bad for the rest of the time that I'm up here. So just let that sink in. So it's been a pretty crazy, hectic week this past week. So I actually didn't have time to prepare a sermon, so Reed just said I can do 45 minutes of jokes. So let him begin. It's a lot more enthusiasm than I expected. Reed, you might have to let me do that sometime. So we've been in this series called Against the Flow. And we just, Reed and Annalisa spoke last week. I wasn't here. But spoke last week about, I'm sorry, about things that are going against the flow, like countercultural, that the people around us aren't doing, but we're still going to press into and go, hence the name Against the Flow. So this week, we're talking about discipline. Everyone's favorite subject. Yeah. So I'm asking you, don't say it out loud. What is the first thing you think of when you think of discipline? My first thought was along the same lines. The first thing I think of is this spanking stick that my parents have used on all of us. And it's, pretty, ordinary paddle. But it has one of those aerodynamic, holes in the middle. And it's really annoying because it's shaped like a heart. And it's like, I'm not feeling the love right now. And also, there's this big sticker on it. I haven't, read the whole thing. Just the title on it is Board of Education. And so I've appreciated that pun later in life. Board, because, it's a wooden paddle. Yeah, you got it. Anyway, so that's what I think of when I think of discipline. I don't know what painful memories come back if you remember being swatted. My point is, I went with that, was that usually our initial thought of discipline and receiving discipline is usually bad. And while there are painful parts of discipline, I think it's helpful to remember that discipline isn't designed to be bad. We think of it as something that's painful and that's something that doesn't benefit us. We often forget the plus sides and the advantages of discipline. And so I thought it'd be really good tonight to start off with going just over to the heavenly perspective of discipline and how God disciplines us and just what that all looks like. Because God didn't design discipline to hurt us, and he didn't design it just to inflict his power upon us. He designed it so that we would experience freedom. It seems like two antonyms, but really they're related, and discipline leads to freedom. And so the first passage I just want to jump into tonight is Hebrews 12:7, and not the whole verse. It starts off with endure hardship as discipline. And I don't know, for me, that really resonated with me because it gives me a sense of purpose and a sense of why and a sense of meaning for the hardships that I go through. Obviously, they're called hardships for a reason because they're not easy to go through. And so when I'm going through those times, I often can get discouraged. And I often just feel alone, and those can just pile up on us. And we lose track of the why, of the purpose of why this is happening, of the purpose of why we are chasing after God or why we are having discipline. And the hardships can change that vision that we have. And so, like I said, it gives you a purpose for the hardships, and it gives you encouragement to make it through. And so I ask you, what is the purpose of discipline? And one of the main point I'm going to make tonight is all forms of discipline is preparing us for something in the future and making us gain something now that we need later. So I think a couple examples of that is, for instance, our parents disciplining us when we are kids. When we steal a cookie from the cookie jar and they discipline us for that. They're trying to teach us and prepare us for later in life when we cannot always take what we want and to eat healthy, something I'm still working on. or when our school disciplines us for not bringing our homework in. They're trying to prepare us later in life and give us that quality now of being on time, to not procrastinate, to not, I think all of us struggle with that. Not as graduated seniors. it's preparing us to have that quality later in life. I think the best or one of the easiest examples to see is in sports. People who train and have the self-discipline to push themselves through really awful practices. They're not just waking up and being like, man, I'd really like to just put my body through a lot of pain today just for fun. No, they have this goal in mind. They have a race they're preparing for. They have a game they're preparing for, whatever other word that describes a competition, that they're praying for, and that's what they're training for. That's why they're putting themselves through this discipline, through this hardship, is because they have the goal in mind. They have a goal in the future, and they're training for a purpose. And so I challenge you, what is the purpose of what you do? What is the meaning behind all the things, all the activities that you do? We talked about this in men's group this past week. We were talking about the why of what we do things, of what why we talk to our friends, why we do sports, why we are involved in the activities that we are in. Because we can so easily, those good things can become bad. Because we lose that purpose of why we do things. Because, I just totally lost that train of thought. But when we lose the purpose, we lose track of what the discipline was designed for. The self-discipline that we have or the discipline of others, we lose track of that. And we don't find the joy in what we do. A couple examples of that, the Pharisees in the Bible, they loved discipline so much, they forgot the why of discipline. And it hurt their relationship with God because they were no longer close to him. And obviously when Jesus came, they weren't very nice to him because they were so focused on their discipline and being spiritual and holy that they forgot the reasons of why to be spiritual or holy. And sorry, I moved down my notes. For me personally, something I can really relate with. Many of you know I had a big running problem these past couple years. And I got so hooked on running that I started out as I want to run for God. I want to bring him glory through my athletic abilities. And it turned into running to prove people wrong and running to prove a point and running for myself. And I trained myself in such this like endless cycle. As many of you know, I had hip surgery. I got screws in my hips. And it's something I'm still recovering from. And I think that's a really good example of what happens when we lose our purpose. We lose the focus of what the activity that we're doing, and it can bring us down. And a good thing, such as running for me, became bad because it was destroying my relationship with myself, my relationship with God. Think of your parents. If they discipline you and you don't see the reason, the purpose, the meaning behind the discipline, your relationship with your parents become ruined because you don't see the why. You don't remember the why. And I think that's what happens when we forget the purpose. Someone is getting hurt, either our relationship with our parents, our relationship with God, ourselves, the relationship with our friends. Everything deteriorates when we forget that why of what we do. And so I ask, what is the purpose, again, of your discipline? And I think, before we go into that, what is the purpose of God's discipline towards us? And a verse I want to read here, Hebrews 12, 10 and 11. It says, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And I think this perfectly describes the why behind God's discipline, of why he disciplines us, and the fruits that comes later down the line. A quote that says, the design of our fellow discipline is for our good, our holiness, our peace, and our righteousness. And that sounds all easy now. And if grasping God's discipline towards us was the only thing we had to do, it'd be attainable. You know, I mean, all things are attainable. But it'd be easier. But God doesn't stop there. The verses right after that say, therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. This is a call to discipline ourselves and not just wait for God to discipline ourselves. It's like God saying, hey, you got to meet me halfway. I'm gonna discipline you. I'm going to train you, but you have to want it. You have to come after me. You have to know the why of what you want in your relationship. I think back to our parents when we're little. They're teaching us all these things, and oftentimes we don't want them. And it comes to a point where we have to want to obey, and we have to want what's best for us. And our parents can't always just control us. I think God's the same way. When we start our relationship with him, he's sort of doing all the work for us. And he's trying to change all that. And there comes a time where we have to take ownership of that. And we have to discipline ourselves. And we have to pursue God, not just let him pursue us. And so as I was preparing for this and I was thinking of all this, I thought, how do we discipline ourselves? It sounds so easy and like, I'm just going to follow God more. But how do I do it? Do I just grab the spanking stick and just kick it around and like try to spank myself as I walk around? What does discipline ourselves look like? And I found the answer here in Proverbs 4, 23 and 27. 23 through 27. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. And I think this passage lays out four main things for us to have discipline towards. The first verse that says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Are you guarding your heart? What are you allowing the thoughts to sit in your mind, in your heart? Because those things, they eventually overflow, whether it be good or bad. And the bad, when you're not trying to keep up your facade, when you're not trying to be that perfect person, you're going to slip up. And that bad that's in your heart is going to come out. Whether it be just when in a moment you're not really tired and you snap at someone or whatever you do, the bad always comes out. No one can keep up their facade all the time. In the same way, your good comes out. When you think no one's watching and you just do something just because it's what's in your heart, someone sees that and goes, man, I see their heart. I see that they want to do good, that they're wanting to do these things. What are you putting in your heart? What are you allowing to resonate? This is poem, I don't know if it's a poem, quote, whatever you want to call it. It says, watch your thoughts to become your words. Watch your words to become your actions. Watch your actions to become your habits. Watch your habits for they become your character. And watch your character for it becomes your destiny. I think it's so true, because just like the verse says, everything flows from our hearts. Our character will flow. But what is going to flow out of your heart? What are you protecting? What is it worth protecting? And the next verse, it says, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. What are you using your tongue for? This past week in men's group, we were talking about how the tongue is like the rudder of the ship that turns the whole ship. I think that's so true. What is your mouth spewing out of it? Is it spewing out praise to God and encouraging others and glorifying him? Or are you cussing every other word? Are you tearing others down? Is perverse talk on your lips, crude jokes? What comes out of your mouth? Because I think, like the first verse that says, it flows from your heart. I think the first way it flows from your heart is through your mouth and through your words and how those affect others and the people around you. And the next verse says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. What are your eyes looking at? What are you focused on? In my head, I picture those racehorses. They put those masks on them that have like the sliders on I don't know what you call them. Blinders on the side. And it forces the horse to keep looking straight ahead and keep looking directly at the finish line to keep their eye on the prize. What are your eyes looking at? Are you caught looking to the sides, distracting you from the prize, from the main goal of God? Are you distracted by what others want to see you as? Who's the latest model or what's the nicest thing to wear? Are your eyes distracted by pornography or the other temptations of this world? Are you constantly looking side to side? Or are your eyes fixed on the goal, on the prize, the finish line directly before you? And the last verse, it says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left, but keep your foot from evil. Where are your feet headed? What are the paths that you're thinking for your feet? In a sense, this applies more to us graduates and the people going out into our lives, but I think it applies to all of us, because who are you walking with? Who's walking down that path with you? Are you just walking with everyone? Or are you walking the straight and narrow path that God has called us to? Or are you walking all over the place in a squiggly line? Who are you trusting to walk with you, to guide your feet? And I think all of this answers that first question of what is the purpose of discipline? And Proverbs lays out these steps for how we can have discipline to ourselves and quote-unquote meet him that halfway of where he's just not disciplining us and pushing towards us. But this lays out a road, a path for our feet that we can go to chase after God, to have the discipline to guard our hearts, to watch our eyes and watch our steps. I think that the form of discipline that we talked about that's preparing us, that's giving us something now that we need later, it's preparing us for the battles ahead. Now, I was reading this one commentary that was talking about how the Christian life is a goes between two periods of resting and then wrestling. And the resting period prepares us for the next wrestling. And I think that this whole concept is the preparation for when you, in the future, when you feel hurt, when you feel broken, when you feel lonely, when you feel like you can't go on, this is going to be what keeps you going. This is what you've prepared, relationship with Christ, that you've had the discipline to maintain, that you've trusted, and that you've said no to the things, have your eyes fixed directly before you. That's going to be what gets you through. That's going to be the thing that resonates with you, that stays with you, and that encourages you to move on. It prepares you for the thoughts ahead, and it takes discipline. And I think that's, if you guys don't get anything else of that, I hope that you get that, of that Proverbs is laying out these steps. How do you do it? It tells you your heart, your eyes, your feet, all these things. I think it's something we all can tangibly do. We all tangibly know of ways that we're not guarding our hearts, that we're letting our eyes wander towards, that paths that we know are not going to end in the right destination. And I think there's all of us that we should focus on that this week and just continually of, do we have that self-discipline to keep going to God? And do we have that trust that God will give us that strength? If you guys could just bow your heads with me. I just want to give this opportunity, if there's anyone in here who doesn't know Christ, and as we're talking about this, as we're talking about this discipline, as we're talking about the way he loves us, and if you don't know what that is, and if you've never experienced that, I just want you to raise your hand tonight, if that's you, and you've just been feeling like you don't know what that means, and you don't have a purpose for what you do, and you've just been wandering aimlessly, and you don't know the why of why you're going through hardship, or why you're experiencing discipline. I just want to give you guys the opportunity tonight. If that's you, or even if it's not, I'd like you to repeat after me in this prayer. Dear God, thank you for your love towards me. I repent of my sins. I give you control of my life. God, strengthen me to follow you, to have the discipline to guard my heart, to keep my mouth and my eyes pure. God, guide my steps. Amen. Melody, if you could come up here and just play. This last piece I want to leave you with is, we all know the story of Gideon. And Gideon, his family was part of a tribe, and his tribe was the least among all the tribes in Israel. And of all the families in that tribe, his family was the least. And in his family, he was the youngest. He was the least of his family. There is no lower you could go than where Gideon was in terms of social standing. And we all know the story how God came to him, and God called him out, and God called him to this great future as a warrior and a leader. And we all know that Gideon, fought back. He laid up the wineskins and, prayed for rain and stuff. But yet, after Gideon kept arguing, God said to him, through the angel, said, go in the strength that you have. And I encourage you guys to use that tonight. If you feel like, hey, that's me, but I don't have the strength to have the discipline. I don't have the strength to fix all the things in my life. I don't have the strength to say no to these temptations, to get my feet on the right path. I encourage you, come with the strength that you have, and God will provide the strength that you don't have. So I encourage you guys to come up and respond, and I encourage you, don't leave tonight without talking to God. Without talking to God and asking him, are you guarding your heart? Are your eyes fixed on him? Are your steps leading towards him? I encourage you guys just to respond to that. And if you want to pray with some, we have leaders up here who can do that. Everyone, if you can stand up.